Hello and welcome to Vox Talks, a series of audio interviews with leading economists from around the world. I'm Viv Davis from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. It's the 17th of July 2012 and I'm speaking with Professor Simon Evenet of St Gallen University about the recent rise of protectionist measures in the world trading system. We also discuss the implications of the rise in regional trade agreements, the potential effects of Russia joining the WTO, and the impact of slow growth and recession in Europe on the region's trade with the rest of the world. I began by asking Simon what the recent rise in protectionism means for world trade.
It means that the world economy is facing a greater risk of closed markets and a stalled recovery because of protectionism. The recent uptick in protectionism has raised concerns not just with the WTO, but with the European Commission and the International Chamber of Commerce and the so-called B20 group of business leaders. The findings of the Global Trade Alert report were discussed by some of the participants at Los Cabos at the G20 summit, and I think the profile of this issue has been raised appropriately by a large range of individuals and organizations.
And so what sort of protectionist measures are we seeing most commonly used now?
Measures being used at the moment are a combination of traditional anti-dumping, the so-called trade defense measures. Some resort to subsidies by countries, especially those engaged in industrial policy making initiatives, and also a number of export restrictions which are limiting the supply of commodities and other key items to the world economy.
And what does this mean for the efficacy of WTO rules? Are they not working?
The WTO rules have been negotiated over time and are still fairly incomplete. Where they are tough, they're very valuable and have probably done a good job in deterring some protectionism, but I would put a greater emphasis on the rules being incomplete and this inducing a switch in the form of protectionism. Overall, I think the WTO rules have altered the composition of protectionism rather than its level.
So who's the biggest offender in terms of implementing protectionist measures? And who's suffering the most as a consequence of protection?
Global Trade Alert cuts the data up in a number of different ways, and depending on what different metrics, you come out with different lead offenders. But amongst the top offending countries are Japan, the European Union countries together, Brazil, India, and China. So these are perhaps the worst five. Argentina also recurs quite heavily in the list of offenders. In terms of the countries which have been hit the most, these are the biggest exporters in the world. So this is China, the United States, the major European nations. All of them have been hit many, many times. We're into well over 500 for some of those countries since November 2008.
We're also seeing now quite a rise in the number of regional trade agreements being made. In 2010, for example, the China-ASEAN Free Trade Area was established. The European Union, too, is making deals with Colombia and Peru, possible deals in the pipeline with India, Japan, and maybe the US. Is the rise of regional trade agreements a good thing for world trade?
The rise of regional trade agreements is pretty mixed. There is a long-standing concern amongst economists that regional trading agreements divert trade away from more competitive firms towards those which have tariff breaks. But the other offsetting feature is that regional trading agreements have been fairly effective in introducing rules on behind-the-border policies, regulatory policies which affect domestic and foreign business as well. So any balance sheet of the costs and benefits is going to have to weigh up those two factors. As tariffs come down over time, the trade diversion costs are probably getting smaller and smaller, and that probably being concentrated more in agriculture than in manufacturing, whereas the behind-the-border issues just seem to get more and more important over time. So on net, I'm cautiously positive about regional trading agreements being a good force in the world economy, but I don't believe that you could argue that they've delivered a lot of economic benefits in most cases.
Okay, so Russia is, at long last, just about to join the WTO. What do you think are the likely implications or consequences of that?
There are a few people rejoicing at Russia joining the WTO. And this is partly because the Russian position on negotiations is not likely to be one which is open to further liberalization. If anything, the recent policy moves in Russia have been towards more protectionism and substitution of imports. So people are concerned about what the impact of Russia's accession would be on the negotiations and the balance of those negotiations. Furthermore, Russia will be soon subject to WTO dispute settlement and could well be the target of a number of enforcement actions by other countries, and this could make for some fractious times in Geneva as well. So on that, this is not the happiest development, but still it's better to have Russia inside the World Trade Organization emissions rules, and hopefully over time its policy priorities will evolve.
What impact is the slow growth and recessionary environment in Europe having on the region's trade with the rest of the world, and what are the likely implications?
There's a big knock-on effect of Western European slow growth on trade with both Eastern Europe and with China. And this is where we've seen the most immediate knock-on effects. The transatlantic effects have actually been rather limited, but again, that's because the US and Canadian trade exposure, whilst numerically being rather large, is proportionally not so big as a share of their exports. I think the immediate fallout has been in Eastern Europe and in China, where they've seen falling export sales and excess capacity. This, in turn, I think, is inducing, in the case of China, further government measures, probably indirect subsidization through their banking system, as well as other measures to stimulate domestic demand. So I think there is a direct knock-on effect through the trade channel on other major regions of the world, but not every trade region is particularly affected. When it comes to the impact on within Europe, again, of course, you'd expect to see something of a downtick in imports in the periphery countries, which I think we are seeing, whereas Germany and some of the northern countries appear to be exporting plenty to the rest of the world. So they seem to have substituted away some of their export dependence on the periphery for other faster-growing parts of the world. And that realignment, I think, you'll see continue.
Finally, Simon, what sort of future do you see for world trade? Are you optimistic?
I think world trade has been not a key priority of governments, or at least promoting world trade hasn't been. I think trade policy has been subordinated to now other policy objectives throughout this crisis. And for long as that is the case, one has to be a bit wary and cautious about where the world trading system is going. I don't think the current situation is anything to feel happy about. It's certainly not excessively gloomy or anything like the 1930s. But I do think we need to be cautious, and defenders of the world trading system need to be making the case for trade policy and openness as a government priority instead of being outmaneuvered by the other key players in the macroeconomic policy debates and debates about financial stabilisation.
Simon Evenett, thanks very much.
Thank you.